Wow. Isn't it exciting to get to be a part of all that? Yeah. You know, we're disciples of Jesus Christ who get to make disciples, and God can use us really well when we choose to live an able life, because he's continuing to write a story, and he does that through us, those that went before us, those that will come after us. And that's really what all these books are up here for. Each one of these books represents a story, a God story from your life. And each individual story is unique. Some of them are just now getting written, while others have had lots of chapters written them over lots of period of time with lots of twists and turns. But there's something common about all these stories in that the final chapter hasn't been written yet. God is continuing to write his story, and we get to be characters in that greatest story ever written.
Absolutely. Over the last 12 months, the Carmel family's been a part of that story that God's been writing. And so for the next few moments this morning, we're going to take a look back, and we're going to celebrate all that God has done. We're going to see some of those stories, hear some of those stories, and in the process, we've got far more to share than we have time for this morning. But what we hope will happen is that each of us will be encouraged and inspired to take the next step as the story unfolds in the year ahead.
Yeah, so Carmel has a very clear mission that we want to make disciples of our nearest, our neighbors, and the nations. And we've got lots of environments where that happens, both on campus and off campus. We've got things like back to Bible times for our little ones. We have camps and retreats, discipleship communities, men's ministry, women's ministry, milestones, midweek opportunities. The list goes on and on. But each one of these is part of an intentional path for that disciple-making process. And each of these environments can be a prime opportunity for individuals to really know the love of Jesus, to hear his voice, and to respond in faith.
For example, did you know that 1,300 kids and students got to experience God in a fresh way at one of our retreats or camps last year?
Yeah, and every single Sunday, there are right at 1,000 preschooler children and students and almost 1,300 adults that come to be a part of our discipleship community circles. That's a lot of community life.
A lot of community life. And 285 women participated in the summer suppers where ladies opened their home and allowed others to experience the gospel in the context of community.
That's a lot of food.
It's a lot of food.
So our men have really launched into a new thing this year, and 200 men have pioneered the journey, which is a time where men come together and they realize that it's more important to live in community than in isolation.
And 170 folks went through our connections class, which is the first step towards membership. And so we're glad you guys are here. Welcome to the family.
Yeah, glad you're here. We also have two senior adult discipleship communities that have realized we can make a difference outside of our time meeting together. And there was a need in the community at two of our assisted living facilities there at Carrington Place and Carriage Club. And our folks have gone out and they are leading ongoing worship services in those locations.
That is so cool. Mm-hmm. And the nations are literally coming to We School. And so We School started a new moms group for international moms. There's 15 different languages represented there.
That's great.
It's a lot of languages.
That's great. Our Joy Ministry has expanded this year, our ministry to our special needs families, in that we have more ongoing week-over-week opportunities to invest and disciple those families.
But you know, none of this would be able to be possible without the 900 disciple makers, 900 of you guys who week over week are investing in your peers and the next generation to see ministry happen around here. Thank you so much for all that.
Yeah. You guys come on up. This is Forrest Garvin and Kaylee Gott, and we want you to experience what it's like when we abide in Christ and intentionally look for ways to live out the gospel with those that God puts in our path. So, Forrest and Kaylee, would you please share your story?
Yes. So, last fall, church was over, and I was standing out by the Welcome Center, and I met this family. And as I was talking to this family, Pastor Alex comes by, and I introduced them to Pastor Alex. As Pastor Alex is speaking to them, I focused on the teenagers and said, "Hey, where do you guys go to youth group?" And the young lady goes, "What's youth group?" And I told her it was a place where we learn about God and worship God. She goes, "Well, I'm not really into God. I don't know who God is. I don't even know if I believe in God." And I said, "Well, that's a great opportunity for you to come, and you can learn about God. That's what we do." So I made her promise to come, and she actually did come. But as I'm the next Wednesday night, I'm looking for her and I can't find her anywhere. And I was somewhat disappointed. I'm like, I'm looking. And all of a sudden the program was over and she walks out of the big service with a Bible and a big old smile. And I was kind of confused again. And I said, how was it? She goes, I loved it. And I said, and you have a Bible? She goes, yes, I met Rachel Jackson beforehand. And she asked me if I had a Bible. And I told her I didn't. So she gave me a Bible. So as the weeks went on, we were getting ready for the Paul's retreat, with a youth group retreat. And I told her, I said, you need to go to the Paul's. And God did some miracles to allow this young lady to go. And so she went to the Paul's retreat. We're at the Paul's retreat on a Saturday night. Everything was over. It's time for the kids' free time. And I went to Kaylee and I said, Kaylee, this girl is going to accept Christ tonight. You need to go share the gospel with her right now.
So I ran upstairs or to the cabins and I saw this girl and I was just like, hey, Forrest has told me to come share the gospel with you. So I shared the gospel with her from creation until now. And we shared our testimonies with her. And then after about an hour, some leaders had filled in this room and we all were just sharing our testimonies with her and about what God had done in our lives. So she realizes that she wants to accept Christ. So she first wants to run down and thank Forrest.
So she walks in the gym and I kind of knew by my spirit what was going on. I grabbed Kaylee's mom, Kelly Gott, and we met this young lady in the middle of the court in the gym. And we were talking, and we finally asked her, do you want to know Jesus right now? And she accepted Christ right there in the middle of the gym. So that was amazing. So then the next morning, all the students are wrapping up. They're packed. We're getting ready to get on the bus. We had our last session. We were getting ready to go eat, and we dismissed the kids. And one of the young ladies I could tell was walking kind of slow away from our group. And I looked at her, and I said, hey, do you need to talk? And she goes, yes. So I then, if you can imagine Carmel's gym, I was up top and down below were most of the other groups. And so I'm looking for Kelly Gott because it worked so good the night before. And I was looking for Kelly and I didn't find her. And so I saw Kaylee and I said, hey, Kaylee, you come up here.
So again, I ran upstairs. And actually, one of my favorite parts is that morning, in my quiet time, I had felt the need to pray that the Lord would give me another opportunity to share his gospel with somebody else that day. And that was kind of an ironic thing because we're at church camp, so people are hearing this story three times a day through the messages. But I prayed it anyway. And so I ran up there, and I got to have this conversation with this girl who was a little bit younger than me, who I had never met, and just got to share with her what God was doing in my life and who he was and who he could be to her. So then she accepted Christ, and that just goes to show that even with those who are nearest among us, if we are watchful and in prayer for opportunities to share the gospel, the Lord will give that to us. We just have to be willing and ready.
Yes. So thank you guys for sharing your story. You know, hearing that, it should really challenge each of us to go, man, am I praying? Am I seeking the Lord and asking him to give us opportunities, give me opportunities to share his love with those who he would cross our paths with? Sometimes it only takes 20 seconds of boldness to start a gospel conversation. Well, God's been doing a lot of stuff this year, changing lives. We're going to hear a few more stories of life change as we celebrate baptism. Take a look.
Thank you, Pastor John. This is a really fun way to continue celebrating. We're celebrating 14 folks today, three in this service, and we want you to know their stories in a richer way and a better way. So in light of that, Pastor Patrick is going to read a story for each one of our friends getting baptized today.
Yeah. So first we have David Bear, and here's his story. It says, I was brought up in a Methodist church. I've always known who Christ was, but I knew I needed a relationship with Jesus when I was young as I spent time in youth groups. Having a saving relationship with Jesus has made my life so much more fulfilling. The people most influential in discipling me have been my mother, my father, and my wife.
Awesome, awesome. David, my brother, it is a great joy to call you brother and to call you friend and to baptize you this day in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You are buried with him in baptism. raised to walk a new life. This is Logan Berry.
Here's Logan's story. It says, I remember praying and trusting Jesus as my Savior when I was 4 years old. But when I was 7, my parents spent time with me going over the gospel and making sure I understood what it meant. We prayed together at that time, and I told Jesus that I believed in him and trusted in him to be my Savior and asked forgiveness for my sins. I think I'd be very sad if I didn't have Jesus in my life because I wouldn't have the Holy Spirit to help me make good decisions and to help me through difficult times, and I wouldn't have the hope of eternal life with Jesus. My parents, the church, my grandparents, my teachers, both at Sunday school and at regular school, have all had a big role in helping to disciple me.
Well said, young man. That was awesome. It's a great joy to baptize you this day, my little brother, Logan, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You are buried with him in baptism and raised to walk a new life. And this is Addison Buchholz.
Yeah.
We're going to let you stand. Right?
Addison's my sweet friend. And here's her story. Before I trusted Jesus, I did a lot of sinning. I did not really know who Christ was. I realized I needed a relationship with Jesus when I was 5 years old. I was thinking about the Bible while lying in bed and decided I would ask my parents about becoming a Christian. I wanted to go to heaven and live with Jesus. Jesus has made a huge difference in my life. I still sin sometimes. Me too. But I know Jesus lives inside of me through the Holy Spirit, and he helps me. I feel like he is holding me and taking care of me. My mom and dad and Mrs. Greenleaf, shout out to CCS, my teacher this year, have all discipled me. Addison, it is such a privilege to get to baptize you, and I baptize you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in new life. Will you pray with me? Father, we are so grateful for these that have come to saving love and faith in Jesus, and we pray that their stories would inspire others to want to know the saving love of Christ as well. So we give the rest of this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
God is still changing lives. Each of those stories is just like my story, which is just like your story. We were on a path that was without hope, was without life, was on a trajectory that was going to end in death and destruction. And God, using parents, teachers, coworkers, friend, neighbor, interjected into our life and put us on a different path that includes hope and life and a relationship with him. And in addition to these guys who have been baptized, we've baptized 68 other folks this year, and we are so grateful that God continues to change lives. And now, in addition to all the activity and ministry that happens on this campus week after week, we also have folks that are really going throughout this whole city and engaging and building relationships with folks who are hidden, forgotten, and unloved in our city. And Roger here, Roger, you've been a part of a lot of ministry, and right now, currently, you've been serving at Lansdowne Elementary. Would you share with us a bit of your story now you've seen God at work?
Thank you, John. And I appreciate the opportunity to share with you this morning a great partnership that Carmel has with Lansdowne Elementary. Every other Friday, I have the opportunity to have lunch with three fourth graders. They are my lunch buddies. Their names are Doten, Kayla, and Azariah. Doten moved here when he was 4 years old from Nigeria. Kayla moved here, well, she didn't move here. Her mother moved here from Thailand. And Azariah's family moved here from the Republic of Texas. Shout out to Geraldine. I've been with them for 2 years now, and we have a grand time together. The three of them represent the diversity of Lansdowne, which the school takes great pride in. Just driving less than 4 miles down the road here from Carmel, truly the world is coming to us. Someone asked me, you know, what do you guys do on a regular lunch day? Well, we eat. And then we talk about various topics. There's a wide range of topics. One day we were talking about, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would you like to live? Doten responded, "I would like to live in London because they speak good English there." As East Tennessean, I wasn't sure what to make of that. Kayla this past Friday looked at me and she said, "Have you noticed I got a new haircut?" I said, "Kayla, it looks wonderful," and we talked about haircuts for a little while. Doten lives with his mother and his 16-year-old sister, who I met this past Friday night at Fun Fest for the first time. She's just a delight. They enjoy doing a lot of things together, including watching YouTube Korean boy bands. They go to church together on Sundays, and Doten lets me know on Wednesday nights as well. I wonder sometimes, you know, what he thinks about the rest of the world, and so I will ask him questions, such as, "Doten, would you like to move back to Nigeria?" He paused and he said, "Only when the soldiers take care of the Boko Haram." The Boko Haram is a very violent terrorist organization in Nigeria, and they have kidnapped 276 young schoolgirls. Some of them returned, many of them still missing. There have been over 20,000 of the Nigerians that have been killed and over 2 million displaced from Doten's homeland. Sometimes I wonder, am I really making a difference in Doten's life, trying to provide a little male encouragement to him? I asked him a few weeks ago, "Are you looking forward to the summer?" Most kids would say, "Absolutely, I can't wait." Doten responded, "Not really." I said, "Well, why not?" And he said, "I won't get to see you." As I walked back to the car that afternoon, I was a little humbled and overwhelmed that a little bit of difference, a little bit of time can make a huge difference in someone's life. To wrap up, I'd like to thank those here at Carmel who are also serving as lunch buddies, tutors. My men's group and co-workers have served with Muffins for Moms, a discipleship community that our daughter and son-in-law, Allison Britton Blaylock, lead, have helped out with Beautification Day in the yard and in, on the playgrounds and with Fun Fest. Most importantly, I would like to thank the parents whose kids are at Lansdowne School from our church family here and who also are involved in other public schools around the town. And most importantly, teachers and administrators in our public schools that have made a difference. Our two kids, Jonathan and Allison, attended public school, and we're in ever gratitude for what impact you've made on their lives. They received a great academic training and have prepared them for to serve in the world. So, John, appreciate the time, and thank you for your time this morning.
Roger, thank you for showing us what it means to love people well and for being such a great model of what it is to be a disciple maker. And I know many of you out there are walking alongside men and women and children throughout our city, many who feel hidden or forgotten or unloved. Some of you are lunch buddies. Some of you may be walking alongside a mom that's going through an unplanned pregnancy. Some of you are building relationships with those that are struggling with addiction, or you're writing letters to those that are transitioning out of prison. And some of you are even opening up your home to welcome in the fatherless that don't have a place of their own.
You know, when we flip the page and we enter a story that we're unfamiliar with, we get to see that God's doing something amazing throughout the whole city. And what we do is we see that we get to be a part of the new narrative that he is written. And you know what? That's why there are over 800 of you guys were a part of Carmel Serve last year.
Yeah, and 400 special needs guests were a part of Joy Prom this year that you were able to love on and just be great host and hostess for.
And we were able to donate a van to Project 658 to facilitate refugee ministry in our city.
28 of you assisted with disaster relief efforts across our state.
We've come alongside 5 different church plants this year to help them engage in their discipleship journey.
Yeah. Last fall, we joined with the For Charlotte Network and 75 other churches to do a unified sermon series. And it's so neat to see how God is really working on unifying his church here in Charlotte.
And God's allowed us to be a part of Charlotte Rescue Mission and starting their Community Matters Cafe, which is providing job training for their graduates.
We hit a big milestone this year with our Mosaic store, which gives clothes to foster children. We have now served 1,102 foster children through the store. And by giving them new clothes, we help them regain a little bit of dignity and identity in a really hard season of life. But not only is God writing stories across our city, but he's writing them around the world. And because of God's blessing, we have the privilege to partner with 58 missionaries and 9 ministries across the globe.
Absolutely. It's a lot of ministry. And another cool thing that happened, you may not be aware of, but we came alongside Seed Company to help get the Bible translated in 9 different languages.
Yeah, many of you know Lauren Haney. She's one of our own, and God has called her up, and we have sent her out. And she is now serving in Lebanon and helping start a youth ministry at Resurrection Church Beirut. She's there right now doing that.
Yeah, and Carmel Christian School's been in the game as well. They sent 224 high schoolers on mission over J-term.
So we've had the chance to share the gospel on 15 different mission trips this last year, and some of those places include Cuba, South Asia, East Asia, Peru, Dominican Republic, and Ukraine.
Yeah, and we don't just take random people to random places to do random acts of benevolence. Rather, we come alongside and partner intentionally and go deep with a few so that we can have maximum impact. I want you to take a look at this video of our relationship with Ukraine and see how that's panned out.
Mikhail Gorbachev's dreams of holding the Soviet Union together may have received a death blow today.
Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev has been removed from power
and brought to an end 7 decades of communist rule in the Soviet Union.
After the fall of the Soviet Union, life changed, society changed. Churches who was alive, they was closed. They are afraid of society. Churches was now open to outreach, and in Irpin also one old church closed.
I can truly say that over the last 15 years, the growth at Irpin Bible Church is a great testament to God's hand at work in ministry. Since the early 2000s, Carmel Baptist has had a unique relationship with Irpin Bible Church. We started by sending teams from Carmel to host sports camps each summer with children and youth. We saw lives come to Christ, but along the way, something else happened. I've been going for 15 years, and I've seen a big transition of how the ministry is carried on each year. In the early years, the American team would serve as the leaders, and now it's completely done a 180. They have taken the leadership of the trip each year. They create the theme, they create the stations, and the American team now comes along and serves alongside. In fact, Irpin Bible Church is now taking that model and extending it into a missions model to other parts of Ukraine and sharing the love of Jesus Christ to places where we would never get to reach as Carmel Baptist Church. Their leaders are getting excited about ministry, and new growth is starting and multiplying.
God put us in a strategic place. Ukraine is near many former Soviet countries. and believers from Ukraine go to bring new hope, bring gospel to a country where I can't come Western people.
Carmel Baptist Church has taught us how to pass love to others. Now our church, I believe, has 5 mission trips every year where they go and teach other villages and they train other leaders and show them how to do that. Jesus Christ told them, go and make disciples. And you cannot make disciples until you make the first step and you go there.
For us as congregation is example, brother and sister who put his time, his money, and himself to minister other. It inspired our people to do the same.
Inspire you, I don't know what will. That's pretty exciting stuff right there. And it's just one example of how Carmel strives to really invest deeply with churches and ministries around the world. This is Ariane and Wendy Scandari, and many of you know them, and want you guys to share with us all that you see God doing in Albania and how God is using Carmel to be a part of that story there.
Thank you, Patrick. I felt a strong tug in my heart years ago when Pastor Alex was preaching about the least of these. And as a father of 2 young daughters at the time and the husband of a seasoned counselor, I felt our family could help vulnerable children in Albania. I was born there.
And I have to tell you that when he brought this to me, I wasn't interested at all. I had been telling the Lord for years, you know, I'll go anywhere in the world you want me to go, but please don't ask me to go to Albania. But I went when he proposed, come along with me, and my heart was really changed. And I'll let you know that today the tables have turned and I really feel God calling us there and hope to move there someday.
So for those of you who don't know, Albania is in Southeast Europe and suffered immensely under communism, similar to North Korea today. In fact, the fall of communism in Albania marks the end of communism in all of Europe. Albania was also the only declared atheistic country in the world.
The evangelical church there is quite young. It's very small. It's made up of people really in their 40s who came to Christ after communism fell. And there's an interesting dynamic going on that the people are really challenged to raise their children in a godly manner, but they've had no legacy in order to help them know how to do that. And so at the same time they're doing that, they're also praying for their own parents' conversion.
And I can attest to that. My dad came to Christ when he was 80 years old, just 1 year before he died and went to heaven. So we've been leading Carmel trips to Albania now for 6 years, and we've been able to minister to orphans, to abandoned pregnant women, to children with special needs, and now are partnering with a local church there as we continue our ministry.
And we're super excited to tell you about something God's been doing and is going to continue to do. He's opened the way possible for us for Carmel to partner with this local church to establish a Christian counseling center, and that will be a first in the country. It's super humbling and neat to experience how God is using both Arian and my gifts, our experiences, our talents, to serve, and him being a businessman and me being a counselor. In fact, we're not the only ones. David Dixon and several of the counseling staff here at Carmel Counseling Center are going to be involved in helping train and equip the Albanian counselors to be able to serve the people through outreach and helping them in their time of need through the integration of their faith into the counseling that they do.
And I couldn't agree more with that. It's easy for us all to sit comfortably in Charlotte and frankly fool ourselves to believe that we don't have a whole lot to offer. I couldn't do much in a counseling center, really not, that would help at least anybody. But,
which I attest to that.
And I disagree. But my business skills could be used to get the center going. So the truth is here that God weaves our skills into a rich tapestry for His use. So my challenge to you today is to look out for the opportunities that come along our way and sign up for those, whether locally or globally. And it's humbling to see how God uses us, one, each and all of us together, if we're willing for Him to do so. And so we continue, as I said a moment ago, to partner with the local church, with a healthy local church, whose pastor and dear wife, Roland and Deanne Sula, are graduating actually next week from Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary here in Charlotte. And they have, in fact, been worshiping with us for the last several years, for the last couple of years. They will be returning to Albania soon. Landi will be the pastor of the church and is committed to planting more churches in Albania and in the surrounding countries as well. And Deanne will help establish the counseling center and also counsel there as well.
Yes, thank you guys so much for sharing your story. And it's, yeah. And I want to invite Landi and Deanne to come up right now, and also Pastor Alex, because as these guys go back to Albania and continue to minister, we want you guys to know that there's a church here in Charlotte that's behind you, that our brothers and sisters that are here in this room will commit to praying for you and walking along this journey with you guys. So Pastor Alex, would you pray for these guys a commissioning prayer?
Absolutely. Yes. Thanks, John. Thanks. Such a joy. Father, thank you for Landi and Deanne. Thank you how in your sovereignty you have allowed us to cross paths and to walk together over these last few years. And Father, we know that there's such a great season ahead for them. And so we ask that you would give them joy and shalom in the anticipation and knowing that you have gone before them. We pray, Father, over the counseling ministry and pastoring and shepherding that you would give them favor. We pray that the gospel would bear much, much fruit. We pray for their marriage and their entire family, that you would be a hedge about them to protect them and let joy strengthen them in the days to come. And so we look forward. We anticipate hearing great reports from what you're doing there. In Jesus' good name, amen. 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 Love you guys. Happy, happy days. The simplicity of asking a question of what you're for really sets in motion the direction of your life. It kind of moves you. Christy and I and the kids were walking across campus a year or two ago, and I saw this banner up, and I was like, oh my goodness, that's what we've been talking about back at Carmel for a few years now. What are you for? Like, what draws you and motivates you in your life? And so as we have given thanks and celebrated backwards, my prayer is that gratitude would then turn us and to look forward. So I just want to share with you in the 6 minutes and 16 seconds I have left that where we're heading. There's been a conviction and a burden in my heart for several months to do a sermon series that will start in 2 weeks, and it's called Framed. But it's framing the hot topics or current events of our time through the gospel, you know, framing it in the lens of the gospel. And the reason that we want to do this is because, like you, I know that you want to know how to winsomely and graciously dialogue and interact with neighbors and coworkers and family about the events that are dominating the news. And so we want to equip you. We don't want to get y'all fired up and mad about stuff. We want to present the issues and what does the gospel say about it to equip you to lovingly, graciously interact with folks along the way. So we're going to talk about things like racism. We're going to spend a day talking about pornography. We're going to spend a day talking about immigration. We're going to spend a day talking about politics and the Christian. We're going to spend a day talking about same-sex marriage. On three of these 8 days, we have a special accommodation for kiddos. if you don't want your kids in here, we'll have accommodations for them. But I want to ask you to pray. I want to ask you to pray for me as I deliver these, and I want you to pray for us as we hear these, so that we can like take those topics and not run from them or just get mad and throw things at the TV at night. But let's see what God's word says, and how do we lovingly engage people with the topics that are certainly dominating our days. And then when we get back to school, I'm going to start a 12-week series that will take us all the way to Christmas that is called That Vision Thing. And we're going to walk from sentence one to sentence last sentence in our vision document. And where we're going to do that is because we want to just have clarity. We want to like fine-tune our vision to say, this is where we're heading. This is what we, this is where we see ourselves. And to slowly walk through that. But something is going to happen along the way that is actually a vision fulfillment moment from that very vision document. In September, we're going to launch plant a church. It's called Redeemer Church, Charlotte. It's going to be pastored by Pastors Josh and Lim, our very own guys. And it's an exciting time for us to see the DNA of our church continue to shift and to accept and celebrate and rejoice in giving people away into the kingdom. Here's something that should really open your eyes to the need. 100 folks approximately move to the Charlotte metro area every day. It's a good place to live. That's 700 folks a week, 3,000 people a month. And we have long known that new church starts reach people really, really well. And so there's an opportunity then. We have 126 days-ish to launch, and we'll have about 100 people, maybe more, maybe less, who are going to go, and they're going to start a new work. And what's going to happen is we're going to have about 100 seats that will now be empty. And that is a good thing. Somebody asked me a while back, I wonder how big Karma would be if we just didn't plant and send people away. And my reaction to that is such the wrong question. The right question is, I wonder how big the kingdom is, because we have been planting churches and giving people away. Because see, just to grow here is addition. To plant is exponential growth. It's multiplicative growth. And you don't know where it will go. This great place was 100 folks 53 years ago. And so knowing that, here's where we're heading this year. We're heading to, I need y'all to get going and get busy living. Because if we have 100 new seats that are empty and others, we have a chance to uniquely live out our mission, which is to make disciples of those nearest our neighbors and the nations. But uniquely from that is like, so how do we do it? You've seen the word all morning on the screen. It's called Abel. We will abide in Christ, build relationships, live the gospel with everything we have. So let's just slowly soak in this, because I want you to feel how organic that is and this year to come. Meaning, it's not about just a big deal and a big event. It's not about just bringing people in and having these big gatherings. And those are fun. But you know, the 365 thing, the 24/7 thing, is you abiding in Christ and having a vibrant, healthy life. Vine and branch, Jesus and us, John 15. When you own that, and we are owning that, there is this natural, or should I say supernatural, overflow to a building relationships kind of life with lost folks and found folks to live the gospel in word and deed with everything we have. And we've heard lots of great stories that illustrate that. And so what part do you have in that this year? One thing that I love about this last image on the screen is that these spines on the books have no title. They have no author name. And I want you to look at them, and I want you to imagine, are you the white book? Are you the tan book? Are you the black book? Because God wants to write a supernatural story through your life this year. But you have to be willing to step into that. The fifth book of the New Testament we call Acts. And if you look at the subtitle in your Bible, it will sometimes say, or most often say, Acts of the Apostles. Some have argued that it should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And I would say that I think both are in play. It is the Acts of the Holy Spirit working through the apostles. We live in an age of great Avengers and great superheroes. God's power doesn't rest on the church through some cosmic ray. God's power rests on us through the indwelling Holy Spirit. And when we open up and say, write your story through my life, and you do it, and you do it, and you do it, oh my goodness, it gets real exciting. So I want to ask you to do something. I want you to grab this card that has color on the front and the back in white. And on the front side, it says, under looking back, it says, I praise God for this story he wrote in my life this past year. You notice there's not a ton of room there. And it doesn't have to be this grandiose story. If it was a fingerprint touch of God where he just said, hey, I want to remind you, you're not alone. Man, that's a big deal to you. So write that down. Because when we see his faithfulness back there, it builds our faith that way. But then flip it over. It says, looking forward, my next step of obedience in God's story for me this coming year is. So write down something the Holy Spirit's been leading you in. Maybe he's confirmed it this morning. Maybe it's the first time you've thought about it this morning. But write that down. And then take this and put it on a mirror at home, on a refrigerator, on your car dash, somewhere where you'll see it often. And be obedient to it. But this yellow piece, we really want you to fill out by filling in your name where it says member name required at the top, and then just quickly go through with the yeses and nos. And when we leave here in a little bit, just drop it in the bucket right outside the door. The ushers are waiting for you for these. We're going to transition to our altar prayer time, but I want to let you in on a prayer that I've been praying for us today. And it's this. Lord, as we've remembered what you've done, and we're filled with such gratitude, may you release us to step into this year. So as we've remembered last year, release us this year. Remember, release. Kind of like catch and release, but remember and release. Because if all we do is leave here today with looking back and going, that was a special year, we've wasted everybody's time. Because the gratitude that God gives us when we taste and see his goodness, his grace, should propel us to be living epistles in the coming year. Amen. So, Father, as we open our altars now, we pray that you would speak to us as we fill these out where we sit or where we sit up here at the altar. Speak to us as we write back to you and say thank you. In Jesus' good name, amen.